Blog Talk Radio.
Seven cities, Phantom Rose, Virginia, and you can adjust your time accordingly. I'm Tom O'Neill, and this is Tom on the Radio. I apologize for last week not playing that song you heard. It was an annual tradition of mine to play Vehicle by the Ides of March on the week of the Ides of March. So better late than never, as they say. And speaking of better late, and speaking of better late,
I guess. Behold the king, the king of kings. On your knees, dog. Bow down to the king.
song means only one thing, that I introduce a man that totally reeks of awesomeness. The one, and let's be thankful, the only, Steve Baxley.
Who? Oh, that's me.
How are you, big guy? What's going on that's good in Mid-Michigan?
Oh, how nice it has been to be back home again.
Enlighten the folks that don't understand. You had a road trip the last few days.
Yes, and once again, it proved to be, ladies and gentlemen, the most outrageous 3 days you can ever have on a low budget. Yes. And with the
clothes on.
Yes. We went to a event called ShootoCon, which, for those of you interested in knowing, is just one of many conventions that deal with either the comic book industry or the animation industry in whole and in part. This one, in particular, was about the Japanese animation industry. Some of the best, in my view, the best in art and in form of the entire of an entire media industry is animation.
Wow.
And the Japanese, I will state this for the record, the U.S. was the best with two gentlemen named Joseph Barbera, with William Hanna and Joseph Barbera. But the Japanese one-upped on us. And they do it with a style that is unique. And with shows like One Piece, Dimension W, it was amazing. It was amazing. We talked with some of the voice artists, as well as some of the artists who created such, shall I say, unusually interesting programs. And for those of you who want to know what I'm talking about, you got to tune in midnight Eastern time, Cartoon Network, a show called Toonami, which airs Japanese animation from midnight to 3:30, literally just knocks your socks off the way that they do animation down there. And I applaud. And I tell you, with the guests they had, the panels they had, and the music, the artist, the gaming, it was literally one fantastic 3-day tour of fun. And believe me, my creativity, nice little boost, made me feel fuller than if you gave me an entire Chicago-style pizza with a little salmon on it.
That's yum! Cool.
Yes, it
That's
is.
Good, huh?
Oh, yeah, it was. One of the voice actors, Monica Rial, even went so far as, now, she was supposed to have crafting with Monica as one of the panels. But unfortunately, a little snafu occurred. So instead of making like paper roses and things like that, we had a nice, lovable Q&A section with Monica, with Hawaiian Punch and sugar cookies.
Yum!
It
that'd be a buzz.
That was fun. And, of course, we did both of our shows from there. And, well, I would like to apologize for Friday's show, but I really don't want to, because that was what I was looking for. A little wildness, a little insanity, a little...
A little? Oh, that was not... There was nothing little about that wildness.
That was... We were not only off the track, we were just... We were off the walls, banging our heads.
Down in the valley.
Yes. And then Saturday's show was also a riot and a third. And I got to tell you this. Jay the Brain Man, came up with a very interesting idea. And I don't know if we can do it. I don't know if Blog Talk Radio could do it, but maybe I'll send them a tweet and find out. I wonder if there was any, has there been any Blog Talk Radio show ever to truly do live on location like we did, but in sort of a panel format. Interesting idea. Make it a regular show, a regular edition, and might work.
I don't see why not. You have the technology.
Yes, indeed. I'll have to ask that at Blog Talk Radio. So if anyone at BTR is listening, I got a big question for you, and I hope you have an answer. But that was it. We came home. The closing ceremonies occurred, lasted for an hour, usually last about an hour and a half, 2 hours yesterday. Came home, and I haven't unpacked.
It's like you're going to go out to another one.
No. This is one is enough.
So this is your annual field trip.
Maybe the one that's here in Jackson this summer will fulfill again. But right now, a nice little calm week of just getting sort of, you know, just getting back into the swing of things.
And that includes this show.
Hey, I'm back in full. As you can see or probably hear, the voice is not muddled, and I've still got a spring in my step, and I'm trying to get rid of it.
But you had a sugar rush and a creative rush.
That's right. And I'm ready for action. I'm ready for action. I'm ready for satisfaction. I am ready.
Ooh.
To get it on like Donkey Kong.
Ooh, Studley. You must have been watching some of Rock's old promos.
Oh, you better believe it. In the words of Dusty Rhodes, I am ready to get funky like a monkey.
But Vince is really seeing and raising, as they say, for this WrestleMania. Not saying that it's going to be the best ever, as they say, but they are trying to do 13 days of promos that'll get people excited. The last I heard, WrestleMania sold 84,000 tickets, so you can kind of be certain that there will be well over 100,000 people in Jerry's World in 13 days.
Yes, and here are the matches thus far. Kiddies and cadets have been signed up, and then big news, unless, of course, you've already heard it. But here we go. Come on, boys. The confirmed card. Of course, the main event will be Triple H versus Roman Reigns. Okay, next, we will have The Undertaker taking on Shane McMahon. Then, of course, we have Dean Ambrose versus Brock Lesnar. We have a Divas match. That's right. It is a triple threat match. Get out of there, commercial. Thank you. Triple threat Divas match. Sasha Banks versus Charlotte, for those of you that live up here in Michigan. versus Becky Lynch. Yeah. The Usos taking on the Dudley Boys. We will have the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale, otherwise known as How Long We Can Milk This Bit, while Andre the Giant spins in his grave figuring out, what have they done to me?
Because I am the biggest giant in the WWE.
That is right. New Day taking on the League of Nations. Kalisto versus Ryback. Chris Jericho versus AJ Styles. Kevin Owens in another triple threat match will take on Sam Zayn. Let's see.
Sami Zayn.
And a couple other folks whose names we mentioned. There's going to be a six-woman tag team match. Brie Bella, Alicia Fox, and Paige versus Lana, Naomi, and Tamina.
The significance of this match is this will be Lana's first in-ring appearance as a wrestler.
Mm-hmm. You got that right. And, here are the superstars involved in that Andre the Giant Battle Royale big time match.
We can't find a spot in WrestleMania for you, so we have to put you in the Battle Royale.
That's right. And let's see. Oh, are they going to let's go superstars, guys? Come on, please. Instead of 30 superstars, which was last year, this year's will have 20 wrestlers.
Interesting.
Among the 20 to take part, here are but four: Curtis Axel, Heath Slater, Bo Dallas, and Adam Rose. Plus,
it's also Misfit.
Who are part of the Social Outcast. There is one that's also going to be involved in it, Bram Stonewall, or what is he called? Bram, one of the...
Braun Strowman?
Yeah, Braun Strowman is going to be in a part of it as well. And we have our first celebrity group. The all-female British music group Fifth Harmony will be performing America the Beautiful at WrestleMania 32.
Which is a tradition with the WWE.
Oh, excuse me. Fifth Harmony is from the U.S. I thought they were from Britain. My apologies. I saw the words X Factor and, well... My apologies, but
well,
congratulations.
So they're from the United States, but they made their name singing on X Factor?
Yes, X Factor,
okay.
U.S.
Okay.
I think we did it. Oh, yeah, we did. We did mention that, yes. Okay, we did all that, so we're good.
You did mention that Rock will make an appearance.
Rock will make an appearance, and if WrestleMania 32 doesn't make people, you know, cheer and try to ruin Jerry Land, they're thinking of sending, and this is a joke, folks, please note. They're thinking of sending Mick Foley out just to do a strip tease. Anyway.
Oh, jeez.
Well, I had a Betty White joke written here, but I didn't. I don't think he would have liked that.
And a little spice was added to the McMahon Undertaker match just tonight. Vince saying that if Undertaker loses, he will not wrestle many more in WrestleManias.
And there was much rejoicing. I mean,
yes.
What can they do more with? I mean,
the man
has got to be what, 250 years old? I mean, come on! I thought last year was it. I mean, when they had it down in Los Angeles, he was going up against Bray Wyatt. I thought that was it. That was all. He paid his dues. It's time to bring in another Undertaker, another person to take.
Trying to put him out the pasture.
Well, actually, it's just time for him to just say thank you. Thank you for a wonderful career. It's time for me to hang him up. And I have a family. I have kids.
I got more money than I'll ever spend in 3 or 4 lifetimes.
Yeah, I don't need to do these WrestleManias anymore. I've proven myself. Au revoir.
Mm-hmm. You're right. I think a year after Undertaker retires, he's in the Hall of Fame. And it was announced today that officially that Stan the Lariat Hansen will be in the 2016 class of the WWE Hall of Fame, of which the first name that was announced was Sting, and reports are surfacing that the night at the Hall of Fame, Sting will officially announce he is retiring from the WWE because of neck problems he's had. And, they're similar. The problems are similar to the ones Daniel Bryan had, and that forced him to retire.
I agree, Sting. Don't be, and I hate to say this man's name again, but don't be like The Undertaker. Don't be like Kurt Angle. You have an injury. You've done what you could. Your career is memorable. You've done a lot of things in memory. It's time to sort of take stock. You want to stick around to play with your grandkids, et cetera.
And you have a fine-ass wife.
Yeah. I mean, it's time to live.
Yeah.
You know,
which makes me think it's very likely that it would be The Undertaker's last match in WrestleMania. Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. I know we love these guys. As a wrestling fan, we love the action these guys do for us. But there is some time you got to think just like them and say to yourself, when is it time? I've given and I have received back from the fans. When is it time to just say thank you? Have that final match and go out on top.
Yeah, but very few wrestlers do that. But then again, very few athletes go out on their own terms.
This is
because
true.
The money, the fame, the adrenaline are three drugs that a lot of athletes don't compensate for. And look at what happened to Pete Rose. Granted, it happened to him before he was forced to retire, but it really escalated after he retired when he had nothing in his life that compares to the adrenaline rush he had when he was playing baseball.
This is true.
And there's nothing that once you step out of the ring, financial-wise and personal-wise, there's nothing else that can touch the adrenaline rush.
Indeed.
A lot of wrestlers stay with the company in the agent capacity, and people like Edge and Christian are channeling their creative efforts in other ways that involve the WWE, like their show on the WWE Network. Steve Austin is doing a podcast. So that helps, but still, and I say this, not even me never wrestled in my life, but never really participated in sports in my life. I can only empathize with what a lot of these pro athletes go through when most of your life is athletics, and then it comes to the point, whether it be because of age or because of injury or both, you have to leave the sport.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
Yeah, so I hope, you know, yeah, it's unfortunate in Sting's case, he's been in wrestling well over 30 years, and I can only imagine the hundreds of bumps he's taken over that time, and the body is not meant to be taking hundreds of bumps.
This is true. Speaking of bumps, there could be a big bump for Mr. Hogan, for Hulk Hogan. Gee, nice.
Oh, one. Yeah. Or as Macho Man would say, oh, yeah.
That's right. According to CNN Money, who earlier today reported that Hulk Hogan was granted an additional $15 million in punitive damages in his case against the website Gawker. Well, they are reporting that the jury was not privy to over 1,000 pages of sealed documents. Ooh, this is going to be interesting. The documents will likely be vital to Gawker, who will be appealing the decision in the case, as we all know that, as they question the validity of Hogan's claim that he was unaware he was being filmed having sex with Heather Klemm, the wife of radio personality Bubba the Love Sponge. By the way, if you ever have a friend named Bubba the Love Sponge, I suggest checking his priors.
So this bombshell might not get Hogan paid.
This bombshell may destroy Hogan because the document, as the story goes, might reveal information that allows Gawker to argue that Hogan was more concerned about the sex tape being released because the footage contained racial slurs, which are what led to Hogan's release, quote-unquote, from the WWE. Additionally, the newly unsealed documents reportedly contain information regarding Bubba the Love Sponge's testimony, which was that Hogan was aware he was being filmed having sex. In other depositions, Bubba's story changed. The documents reportedly also proved that Bubba's ex-wife, Heather, was aware she was being filmed having sex with Hogan, something that she previously denied in sworn testimony. The documents also contain details on text messages exchanged by Hogan, in which Hogan appears distressed that the sex tape could leak because they contain the racial slurs and not because of the sex itself. Really? It must have been that bad? Gawker could use this to argue that Hogan was not distressed by the act of sex appearing on tape and being leaked, but rather he was distressed by the slurs on the tape. If it is determined that Hogan suffered emotional distress due to his concern for, well, let's face it, his big mouth and not the sex act on tape, that could make the jury's $60 million award for emotional distress highly questionable. Oh, boy, this is going to be fun.
So, in other words, the first chance Hulk Hogan gets to settle this case, he better take it, because there could be the possibility that if it goes to an appeal and all this comes out, he may end up with nothing.
He may end up just with the clothes on his back. And then there's
They'll take his cross chain, too. Oh, what about Linda Hogan?
Then there's Linda Hogan. You better believe she's very interested in the outcome of this case. And if he does lose, I have a feeling Linda Hogan may be going to her lawyers and saying, let's talk a little bit more money, honey.
You mean like alimony?
Yeah. I just got this feeling. If he loses the case, he's going to lose more than his shirt and his mustache and whatever.
And his necklace.
He's going to be losing his butt.
Especially if it comes out that there's some documents that were not put out there intentionally. Gawker could win an appeal.
So stay tuned.
And I got a feeling that Erin Andrews, who by the way looked stunningly fine tonight on Dancing with the Stars, Erin Andrews will collect before Hulk Hogan will collect.
Let's put it this way: her collection is going to be about, say, let's just say $5 million. But you are right; she's going to collect more than Hulk Hogan.
That's couch change money for the Marriott.
Yeah. I just got the feeling that
I am not counting on that guy who allegedly shot the video. I'm not counting on him to give Erin one dime because I think, isn't he incarcerated?
Let's put it this way. He's about as broke as, well, anyone else. I think he's going to be like TNA in a few months. He's going to be bleeding money.
Oh, there's something new on TNA. I saw that one of their wrestlers is leaving.
Actually, two of them. Bobby Roode and Eric Young departed.
Two of their, let's say, more popular wrestlers.
That's right, and they both said the reason for them leaving is because, and as I said, they both said it, but in different ways. For Bobby Roode, he was there for 13 years, and although he had nothing to say negative, the one thing he did say was the brand had been stale for the last little while and the growth was not there as it was in the early years. And let's face it, promises were made and they were not fulfilled. So both wrestlers are now free agents. I look for Bobby Roode to go to either Ring of Honor or sell his soul to Vince McMahon. As for Eric Young, I think Ring of Honor would be a good place for him. But
didn't he wrestle in Ring of Honor?
Eric Young? I think so. I think so, yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, with all due respect to Ring of Honor, they can be considered stale also. Well, the WWE, we know is stale. And they're trying to resuscitate themselves before WrestleMania. And don't you find it interesting that, let's see, NXT is going to have a card in Dallas that week, and ROH is going to have a card that week. The only one that doesn't have a card is TNA.
This is true. This is true. And I will tell you something. Vince better look behind him, and so better Dixie, because coming up slowly but surely, Lucha Underground.
See?
That's right. They are changing the wrestling world with their style of storytelling and how matches are filmed. The matches are produced. And it is incredible. I mean, this is about the third week in a row. Their biggest pay-per-view, WWE's biggest pay-per-view is coming in, I think, 12 days? 13 days. And you have three lousy Raws, and you're promoting for WrestleMania 32. WrestleMania 32 stinks. It would have been
stunk more if USA Network did not come up with the arbitration idea with their dispute with NBC to allow Raw a cooling off period of 10 days, and they're going to arbitration to settle their carriage feud that would have ruined WrestleMania for the WWE and USA, because that's their main over-the-air vehicle, and to sell and promote WrestleMania, they needed. And I think that was a part of the cooling off period the Dish Network came up with. I'm still trying to figure out who's putting the steam on the engine here, USA or NBC or Dish Network.
I think personally it was Dish Network because make that NBC Universal. I think they saw themselves in up against the wall, literally. Like, they had no choice. It's either maybe we better let an arbitrator settle this, then again, lawsuits, blah, blah, blah. So they had NBC Universal had no choice. They had to go with the extension, the 10-day extension, and the arbitrator to settle this, because, you know, Dish Network had them dead to rights, literally.
So NBC wanted to pay less in carriage?
Yes, but in this day and age, with television as we know it changing and people cutting the cords, NBC Universal, again, no choice. They had to do this.
Yeah, and also judging from that situation that's now going on in Boston, they can't afford too many more mistakes.
Oh, boy, that one. Oy, oy,
oy.
I will tell you this. If Sunbeam Television wins against NBC, oh, boy.
All hell's going to break loose. I saw a map on Facebook, I think it was last week, I saw a coverage map that I think Ed Anson put out comparing the coverage of this current station that carries NBC up in Boston to the proposed carriage if NBC leaves his current station and goes to a lower power, two or three outlet, situation that will not have as much coverage in the Boston market as they have currently.
This is true. This is true. The way they have it right now is if NBC does win and leaves. Channel 7 leaves Anson and goes to the former, soon-to-be-former Telemundo outlet. They're also going to try to get some signal with their New England Cable News Network.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be the only way this will work. It is definitely, and I thought the Detroit thing when Fox went with Channel 2 and they dumped CBS, I thought that was strange. The Boston one?
I'll tell you something strange, Steve, and I just got thinking about this. And obviously I will have a rooting interest in what I'm about to say here. Talk about making mistakes. CBS is the gift that keeps on giving. I mean, you now hear that they're going to jettison their radio division. And I still can't believe that they don't have a news operation in Detroit, Michigan.
This is true. And ponder this for a second.
Pondering.
Les Moonves announces that he's ready to sell the radio division. Okay?
Yes. Soon after he got named chairman of CBS Inc.
Okay. And this is going to be in 2017, if I am correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let us think for a moment, especially in Detroit. Please ponder this. There's a gentleman on a number one rated CBS sports outlet in Detroit named Michael Valenti, whose contract ends in about 11 days.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, he's being courted by WFAN. He's being courted
mm-hmm.
by WIP, New York and Philadelphia, respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
And 97 won the ticket. Now,
which he currently works for.
Now, after Moonves announced plans to sell the radio division, I just wonder how much interest is being given to Michael Valenti now by New York and Philadelphia with this knowledge that the very radio division these two stations are a part of, actually all the stations in this little battle are part of, will soon be non-existent.
Find that very interesting.
I mean, which one of those three would risk it all?
And let's remember also, Mike Valenti is the guy that the CBS outlet in Detroit preferred over carrying the Detroit Lions football team.
That's right.
Interesting.
So let's just say Mr. Valenti and his agent better be thinking.
Who is not Drew Rosenhaus?
Because March 31st comes, he may have only one choice, and it may be a forced choice. He may be forced to re-sign with 97.1.
Yeah, so that takes out a lot of his leverage.
Yes, Les Moonves, I have a feeling, took care of that leverage when he announced CBS Radio's impending sale.
Yeah. Steve, my time is up. I have enough time to mention your show, The Last Call Cafe with Love Night 6, every Friday night from 11:30 to 12:15 on Blog Talk Radio. Yours truly is a part of that show. And that's when I will talk with you next. And we'll be back here next Monday to do more blabbing about sports and media. I'm Tom O'Neill. Take care, Steve. Take care.